Two guys who love talking about a game within a game in association with Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Peterson.
I'm Andrew.
And this is FPL SideNet.
Here's Chilwell.
Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable.
Pulisic. Giroud breaks through. Lacazette can have a pop and score a pitch.
Hey, managers, welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast. We are recording this on Wednesday night, April the 10th. And as always, I'm joined by my man Andrew, who is freshly minted in the top 100K of FPL. Andrew, how are you from those dizzying heights?
I'm good. I'm good. It's very nice to be up here. First time for the season.
Not suffering from any altitude sickness?
No, I've been preparing my whole life for this, mate.
Your whole life, everything has led to this moment.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, good weekend for the pod.
Yeah, I mean, you had a pretty decent green arrow as well, right?
Decent, could have been better, but I'll touch on my stupidity when we get to that later.
Yes. Yeah, quite the story.
Yeah, quite the story indeed. But yeah, an eventful week in FPL. We sort of touched last week that we thought it was going to be a high scoring affair when you looked at some of the fixtures on hand. And yeah, there's some juicy scores out there.
Yeah, there was. I guess it's been sort of two game weeks since we recorded, right?
Yes, because we didn't do the one last week because we had like a day before the next deadline, which made things a bit hard. So we loaned you out, just keep the match fitness going. Saw you on the Addicts podcast, getting the run out.
Yeah. I had just a little behind closed doors friendly with the FPL Addicts. No, it was good. It was really good. Good fun with those boys.
Yeah. No, they're great, those guys. I saw you there with Reedy and Chazza.
Yeah. No, it was great fun. It was my first time on that show. I always listen to it. First time on the show, and yeah, it was great. It's a lot of fun being on that one.
Yeah, bit different being on YouTube, where we have to look pretty.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I usually get away with like $10, you know, Office Works headset. But I just had to run with it on that show because I didn't have time to go out and get anything fancier. So, but anyway, hopefully no one noticed.
As Mama said, I have a face for radio. But let's have a look at how you went this game week. So 75 points and a juicy green, as I mentioned at the top of the show, into the top 100K for the first time.
Yeah, that's right. 75. I think what did it for me is really just my defense. You know, like all season, we'd be getting nothing from defense. But I had defensive returns across the board. I had double Everton defense, which was a massive differential. So 8 points from Pickford and 6 from Branthwaite. I got your standard 6 points from Gabriel. And I had the 4 points from Ait Nouri, which could have been a lot more if he just held on another 5 minutes or so. I think another five. I think if he'd got to the 60-minute mark and locked in that clean sheet, probably would have been a 12-pointer. But anyway, that's, you know, these things happen. Midfield got sort of returns across there as well. I got 5 from Sun, 10 from Saka, 5 from Palmer. Salah captain gave me 16. So I guess I got the captain choice right as well. Kind of, you either got 8 points from Haaland or Salah, or you got 5 points from Sun or Palmer pretty much. So not huge swings, but you know, 3 points is 3 points. And then, 8 points from Haaland, 5 from Darwin. And the only player that blanked for me was Dominic Soblanky with 2 points. And I had Sarabia's 7 on first on the bench, unfortunately. But that's right. He's not a bad player to have first sub just in case someone misses out.
Mm. And did you actually start Kivior or did you bench him?
No, I benched him. I just liked the Everton home fixture against Burnley, so I decided to play double Everton defence. And I think, I was just a bit scared off by the fact that Kiwior didn't play the previous game, so I was a bit worried. I did think about starting the Arsenal double defence, but I was a bit concerned that maybe he would come on for a cameo if he didn't start, so I decided safer was to start with a double Everton defence, and it turned out that, yeah, that worked out quite well. But yeah, so Kiwior, you know, I've only had him since the wild card in 31. He's already a problem.
Yeah.
I guess we'll something we might talk about a little bit later, but yeah, he immediately became a problem for me, which was always the risk. He was probably the riskiest player I went for on wild card. So
yeah, because I mean, you did go double Arsenal defense on the wild card, which made a lot of sense, but you haven't actually benefited from that yet, even though they've kept two clean sheets in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I went like Arsenal defense from Wish, though, like with Kiwior. Like I literally couldn't afford, you know, I was 0.1 short of having Raya as one of my goalkeepers. I couldn't afford White or Saliba with everyone else I wanted to fit in. So I kind of went for Kiwior, just hoping that he was going to keep his place because he had been really good. It's looking less and less likely that he is going to be, you know, first choice left back for them. I think at the best case scenario, he's going to share time with Zinchenko, and that's kind of not very helpful either when you need him for a double game week.
Which is what we saw this morning in the Champions League against Bayern as well.
Yeah, well, apparently, I mean, I didn't see the game, but apparently he was very shaky, and he probably got hauled off at halftime. I'm sure it wasn't a planned substitution, so that kind of makes his position even more tenuous than it was.
So yeah, some work to do, some thinking to be had, but 82K. Yeah.
I'm happy with how the wild card went. I actually got a small red arrow on the actual wild card week, which is, you know, always fun. but in this second game week since I've had the shiny new squad, I had a pretty good green arrow. So I am at like the highest rank I've been all season. So I think I can call it a successful wild card so far, but there is one or two issues that do need dealing with.
We will touch on those soon. So yeah, you finished with 75. I finished with 72. A little bit of bench jam this week for me. So I had, I thought I had Dubravka in goals. So when I woke up in the morning and I saw Newcastle actually kept a clean sheet, I thought, holy hell, I actually have my third clean sheet of the season. I was so happy. And then when
your
I looked
third
at
goalkeeper clean sheet for the season, you mean?
Yeah, I've only had two all season, which is just insane. Like we're approaching game week 33. I could have got monkeys to randomly pick out goalkeepers for me. That would have done better.
I think you should have done that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might do that next season. So imagine my shock when I saw Kaminsky was in my 11. Now, I don't know if I just furiously had accidentally, when sort of like confirming my bus team, maybe accidentally put him out, or I don't know what I did.
Yeah.
Clearly I did it because I'm the only idiot that would have done that. But yeah, I had no idea. I just, every time I looked at my side, even leading up to the deadline, I didn't even look at the goalkeeper, but
yeah,
serves me right. Lessons learned.
I think that does happen sometimes. Like the goalkeeper is the spot that you don't really pay any attention to. And if there's nothing in particular going on with goalkeepers in that week, you know, you just kind of glaze over it. You don't even see who you've chosen. You just kind of assume that you've got the right goalkeeper chosen. It's very easy to miss. I think I've done it myself before. But yeah, that really hurts. Like, you know, it's not like one of them got 3 points and the other one got two. Like this is like that's a proper haul. Like that's the difference between a game week rank of like a million and I don't know, like 500,000, 600,000. It's a huge difference.
Yeah. Anyway, so I actually found the whole thing pretty funny. Once I got over how annoying it was, I just thought that's pretty funny, just the way this season's gone. But yeah, so the rest of the side was, Gabriel, Aiton, Nouri, and Malo Gusto, who was auto-subbed for Lamptey, who got 1 point, which was fantastic. And, yeah, the midfield, my power five that I've had, I still haven't been able to roll out the power five since I've had the power five, because last week Saka got subbed. He got rested. This week it was Foden's turn to get injured, but luckily the hero that is Ollie Watkins. First on my bench, came in, man. 13 points. I tell you what though, that because I was watching the City game live against Palace, and I was sweating that because Foden was on the bench, and I think it got to like the last substitution Pep had, and I saw he started getting Gomez warmed up, thought, oh, this is great. This is over. Like Foden's not even seeing anywhere near the pitch. And then Palace scored like a late goal.
And then Pep told Gomez to sit down.
I heard the commentators say, "Oh, there's been a change on the bench because they've sent Gomez back to the bench and someone else is coming." And I was like, no, I can't have Foden come on for like 1 minute. But I was pretty relieved when it was Bernardo Silva coming on for a routine 2 minute run out.
Yeah, I went through that entire same roller coaster of emotions on your behalf because I was watching it at the same time and I was like,
I was like, don't come on.
I was like, I think there's only one sub left. And I was like, oh. And then when they said that, oh my God. Anyway, that worked out fine. I mean, it would have been benching 13 points from Watkins would have been, it would have killed you. Like, because you wanted Watkins, like you've kept Watkins longer than other people, because you've always said, look, I want to keep Watkins, like he's a great player. So the fact that you had to bench him this week, I think it would have absolutely killed you if you'd benched him and then he got 13 points and it was just stuck there.
Yeah, so, and the crazy thing is his EO at the moment is like crazy low. Like
it's like 10.
Yeah,
for 10, like, it's like 10% or something.
Yeah, around my rank, which is bad. It's like 14%, which, you know, a few weeks ago was probably around the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, there was a lot of weeks where he was like 99.9, like approaching 100 pretty much. You weren't getting anything from him at all. So, yeah, this is this week here where he's got the 13 points and also I think in two game weeks when he's home to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Those are 2 weeks where you could really benefit from having him as a differential.
Yeah, that was the thinking all along. But like yourself, Captain Salah. I wouldn't say I was like overly confident on Salah, but just heading into that United fixture, seeing how bad United were, especially in that dramatic game last game week where they coughed up the late goals against Chelsea, and knowing Salah's history against Man United, for me, it was always going to be, I think, Salah with the armband. Even though, as tempting as it was to go Palmer with that performance, I just thought, it would be classic Chelsea just to trip themselves up against Sheffield United, which they did. Yep. Salah just, I mean, he got, it was a penalty, but that's what Salah does. So, he's a penalty taker.
That's right. I mean, I was a little bit worried when they got the penalty that maybe McAllister was going to take it.
Yeah, because he was holding the ball.
which he usually does, but it was more just to do with the fact that he'd taken two really good penalties while Salah was injured. Mm. And Salah was a little bit low on confidence. He'd missed a few kind of big chances. I just thought there is that tiny little doubt in my mind that whether Salah's actually going to take this or not. And then when he took the ball, it was so hard to watch because it was such a big, Salah captainer, knowing that other people had captained other players, it was just such a huge moment for my game week. It was a massive relief to see Onana dive before Salah had even reached the ball. So Salah could pretty much just tap it wherever he wanted. It was a huge relief to see him make that pen. But I think last time I spoke to you, I was on Haaland captaincy. And I kind of went through the same thought process that you went through with, you know, how bad Man U were against Chelsea and how good Salah usually is against United and all that stuff. And I convinced myself, I think the final straw was when I realized that Haaland was that early game as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, I usually don't pay much attention to it, but I think I was looking for an excuse to change to Salah. So I did. And as it turned out, it didn't matter at all. They both scored exactly the same.
Yeah, see, I was when Haaland scored, I was stoked because I was like, "Yes, I messaged
you
that.
Thought
oh,
that
well
I,
done, yeah. You got your captain goal." And then it was like, "Oh no, sorry."
No, I changed it. I changed it.
You're like,
"Suck." But while I was watching the Man City game, I was happy that I had changed it from Haaland because he wasn't particularly impressive. He wasn't that involved, and until he scored the goal, it didn't look like he was going to get anything. So. I didn't regret the decision. Even after Haaland scored, like I didn't regret the decision to change to Salah. I mean, I was thinking that he was going to get a double-digit return.
Yeah.
And he probably should have.
He probably should have. But, so for me, myself, Green Arrow, 252K. So, very...
Is that the highest you've been all season?
I think so. Other than like game week one or something like that. Yeah, basically. So
yeah, so heading in the right direction at the business end.
Right direction and 20 points up in the mini league now. So very, very happy about that. But we've had some of the European fixtures played out so far this round. So yeah, we're recording this Wednesday night. So earlier this morning, we had the Arsenal, Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, Man City games. And I don't know about you, but I've got two free transfers heading into this next game week, and my budget is 0.0 that I have to play with. And it's really hard to make a decision. I'm sort of hoping that the decision is going to be made for me with these, with these European fixtures. But if anything, we just have more questions because the ties are both deadlocked and good players. Like we saw Foden limping off. Now there's a question mark whether he's going to play against Luton when he just had the rest against Palace. Yeah. So we were all thinking, oh, he's nailed to play against Luton, but now that's not looking so certain. Yeah.
They have been pretty positive with the quotes that have come out on that injury. Foden and I think Pep have both said it was a dead leg. So they hope that he's going to be fine, in a few days. I guess with a dead leg, you can't actually do any more damage by playing with it, right? So it's more just about how much freedom he has when he's running and how comfortable he is playing. So I don't think that that's going to stop. Like if he was slated to play against Luton, I don't think that's going to change. But yeah, I mean, we still don't know whether Pep was planning on playing him against Luton or not in the first place, do we?
Like, no, we don't.
It's one of those fixtures where you're expecting a couple of the big name, City players to be benched, but you just don't know which ones.
Yeah, and with that, we saw KDB not feature in this
morning.
That
surprised
game.
Me a lot.
Yeah, I wonder if he was carrying something. I haven't actually looked into the details.
Yeah,
of that, but yeah, that's a bit of a concern.
Yeah. Well, I think that just goes to show that KDB is just not an FPL asset anymore. Like you can just draw a line through him. You know, he's just never going to be someone that can play even most of the games anymore. You know, they just have to manage him so carefully. So I think he's a really good player for like a free hit or like a dead end game week if you get a leak that he's starting. But for someone to be in your team, you know, for an extended period of time, I think, yeah, he's just not an option anymore.
Yeah, it's a really tricky one because, I mean, we can second guess each other till the cows come home. At the end of the day, it's Pep Roulette.
Yep, that's
we
it.
We know how that goes. The house always wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're really lucky that that Man City are one of the teams that we can almost reliably get leaks for.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, depending on what, you know, depending on how close to the deadline, I guess, their game is. So this week, I think they're not the early game, but they're the next time slot, yeah?
Yeah, so we might get words about who's not on the bus.
Yeah, we might.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, I'm in the same position as you. I've got two free transfers and 0.0 in the bank, and it's not super obvious what I should do. So
yeah,
again, or I guess we just have to wait until all of these European fixtures are done, including the Conference League and Europa, and then decide what we're going to do then. But yeah, there's plenty more midweek games to get through. So maybe it will kind of become obvious what our move needs to be.
Maybe not.
probably not. That would be too easy.
Is it a real baller move just to like burn a transfer at this stage of the season?
I don't think I'll be doing that. I don't think I'll be doing that. I've got a bit of a plan as to what I'm going to do if no other moves kind of emerges, moves that I've got to make. So
yeah,
one thing I won't be doing is burning a transfer. I don't know if you might.
I don't think so, not yet.
I don't think I've ever done it. Like I just don't think I could bring myself to do it.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. But I thought I'd be able to just to make like a simple goalkeeper move, but I was like 0.1 off, I think, or 0.2 off being able to do that. Someone like a Kaminsky out to a Pickford. I'm priced out of that now, which is really annoying. And I thought, oh, I could get Kelleher, but then seeing this morning that Allison was at training, Trent Alexander-Arnold's at training, so now Connor Bradley is a little bit more grey. Jota's back.
I think that Kelleher's just too risky, just because we haven't got enough information about Alisson. The whole time, Liverpool's kind of kept their cards pretty close to their chest on that injury, so it's pretty hard to gauge when Alisson's going to be back. But they do think around 34-ish, right?
They do, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think, well, at least you got two free transfers, so maybe you can use your other one to make a little bit of cash and then do the Pickford move.
Maybe.
Yeah. I noticed today that Pickford has become the highest scoring goalkeeper of the season. He's gone past Onana.
Oh, wait till I get him into my team. No more points.
Exactly right. You're just going to ruin it, aren't you? But at the start of the season, like, people were on Pickford or Onana.
Mm.
And then within weeks, you know, we all thought that that was stupid. And, you know, how silly we were to have Pickford and Onana. And now here we are, game week 33. And Pickford and Onana are the number one and two goalkeepers. It's all come back around. So
life goes full circle.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
Anyway. Actually, Onana's like five, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn it. I thought if he's 4-5, I could do that move. He's got good features.
You're gonna have to stick to Pickford. Just gonna need to make another transfer to make up some money.
Yeah, try and make that work. Well, yeah, the title race got a little bit more spicier on the weekend with that Liverpool Man United game, which was just like batshit crazy. Like that.
Yeah.
I got up for that game at like halftime, and I watched the race live before the Chelsea game. And as I turned on the TV, they had the stats up on the TV, and it was like shots 15-0.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I was trying to wrap my head around what had happened, and I was asking my mates, like, what just happened in that 45 minutes? And
I actually, so it's funny that you said that you went to bed early and woke up for that game.
Yeah, you did the opposite, did you?
I stayed up and watched that whole Liverpool game because I was like, this is like, from a title race and an FPL point of view, it was like a pretty big game, like one of the bigger games of the season. I had Darwin and Salah. It was very frustrating to watch as an owner of both of those, especially as a Salah captainer as well. But yeah, it was so late at night and I was so tired that it's all hazy. So the Bruno goal, did you see that one?
Yeah, I did. It was nuts. Yeah.
I didn't realize at the time, like, obviously, I guess it didn't dawn on me until today, many, many days later, that Kelleher would have been sent off if he actually did get his hand to that ball. Like, he tried to save it.
He missed his glove
by like what appeared to be just a couple of centimeters. And if he touches that and it doesn't go in, then that's a red card. Like, I was just thinking, oh yeah, he tried to save it, like, standard. Like, I didn't even think of the fact that he was about 40 yards out of his box. Oh, what a batshit moment.
Oh, it's pretty funny. So
what would Liverpool have done if he'd got a fingertip to it and saved it and he'd been sent off and they've got no Alisson, no Kelleher? Like, who do they go to next? Like, is it Adrian?
Yeah. Unless he's injured too. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I've got a feeling that he might be flagged. But anyway, I mean, none of this is relevant, I guess, because he didn't, but yeah, it would have been incredible to see Adrian in goals this week.
That's the dream. Be a third choice keeper at a Premier League club.
Yeah, yeah. And then just be the hero in like the title race going into the end of the season.
Yeah. Like, what's his name? Scott Carson, who's been at Man City for like a decade. He's like 400 years old. He just, third choice keeper. He travel with the team, do nothing, sit on the bench, watch the best players 100%. In the world.
Yeah, amazing.
Get like one run out a season just for the lols.
Yeah, exactly. Like you get to play like the second round of the League Cup against like Colchester or something. Yeah. I was just checking for some reason, and Adrian is fit. They have another goalkeeper called Peter Luger who's injured at the moment.
Yeah.
So they would have had to, he's on loan, this Peter Luger bloke. They would have had to have Adrian and God knows who they would have had on the bench. It might have been like another Harry Kane moment if like Adrian had to go off.
Oh, get Van Dijk in the goals with some gloves on.
Yeah, he probably would be the best.
Oh, yeah, that was fun because then yeah, we saw the advantage over, you know, handed over to Arsenal,
yeah,
and City, and yeah, both took those opportunities. So yeah, it's we're actually pretty spoiled this season as far as the football goes, because
yeah,
the title race, there's nothing in it. The relegation race is just crazy, especially now that Everton have also now copped. We haven't talked about it. They copped an extra 2-point penalty. And the last time they copped a penalty, they turned into, you know, they absolutely turned it around.
There was a huge response to that, wasn't there? Yeah. I guess they effectively only got 1 point for that win against Burnley, right? Like with the 2-point penalty.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're still out of the relegation zone, but the Luton Town win has brought it right back together.
Mm.
So yeah. And then Arsenal, can they win every game between now and the end of the season? Because I think that's pretty much what they're going to have to do.
Yeah, well, they've also, you know, trying to do some damage in Europe. It's going to be a bit hard for them because they have to go to the Allianz now after the 2-2 this morning.
I can't see Man City losing another game. So I think Arsenal's going to have to, but as you say, it's going to be pretty difficult. So
yeah,
I just hope that in a double game week 37, when that comes around, and even game week 38, like I hope the title race is still live at that point. I think that's what makes for an exciting season when it goes down to the last day.
Yeah, surely. I mean, one of those three teams might drop off, but you'd like to hope that we get down to the final day, and it's all to play for at both ends.
I would love to see Man City drop points against someone random. I would really love to see it, because, you know, I'm pretty much a neutral. Like, I don't passionately support a team from my point of view, like anyone but Man City. Not because I particularly dislike them, just because I'm sick of the same team winning every time. I would like to see a different team win the Premier League this year. So
don't tell your son that. I've seen him getting around in his City kit.
In his Haaland kit? Yeah, Santa Haaland brought kit. That for him. And I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with Santa Claus this Christmas.
He's on the naughty list.
Yeah, exactly. But, exactly right. But yeah, no, I've got to admit, yeah, my son does go full kit wanker sometimes with the Haaland kit, the socks and everything. I think you're allowed to do that when you're 8 years old.
Yeah, you can get away with that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we do it, and yeah, people probably call the police.
and rightly so.
Yeah, rightly so. Anyway, we are getting sidetracked, so I think it's going to be a good time for a break. And on the other side, we will preview the upcoming game week and give our Goodwill punting tips for game week 33. Okay, welcome back to the FPL Sunday podcast. And guess what? No more daylight savings. We've got football at 9:30 p.m. on a Saturday night, baby.
Huge. Huge if true.
Yes. Apologies to anyone else in any other time differences, but I don't care. Things are better for us now.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Yeah. To anyone on the western seaboard of Australia, my apologies. But yeah, I'm a very eastern seaboard till I die.
It's the best seaboard. You'll never find a better seaboard than the eastern seaboard.
So Newcastle Spurs. So yeah, kicking things off at 9:30, which actually means an FPL deadline of 8 p.m. now on Saturday night. So you make sure your house is in order before then.
Yeah.
We have to get used to that again.
Risky. I usually don't even have my kids in bed by 8 o'clock, so I really have to make sure I get my transfers done.
The amount of times in the past I've been chatting to you while I've been sitting in my daughter's room waiting for her to like fall asleep because she wants me to sit there and I'm quickly trying to do FPL transfers and get validation from you about what I should do.
Yeah, that's right. Don't play Kaminsky over Dubravka. That's the text I'll be sending.
Yeah. So actually, this game's a Newcastle Spurs is a preview of their upcoming postseason friendly here in Melbourne.
Ah, true.
They come out here in May, which is very random, but
yeah,
if we've learned anything, football clubs love money.
That's the edge factor, I suppose, that Spurs are coming out here.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it's actually going to be a really good game, this one. Like,
yeah.
The Newcastle Spurs. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's one that I might not even have any assets from. I am thinking about maybe losing Son this week. I don't know what you think about that.
No, I totally get it. And I think there's a lot of other managers in that situation because there's no fixture for him in the next game week. And
yeah,
depending on your like different strategies out there, there'll be people free hitting in 34. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're free hitting at 34, I'd probably keep Son in that sense. But for managers like yourself and me, because I'm dead ending in 34.
That's right.
And I need funds as well. It is an option that is on the table. I don't want to do it this game week, but it may I may have to move that make that move a week earlier than planned. But
yeah, same as me. Like I never really intended to do it in 33, but it's one of those ones where I've got two free transfers and I don't really know what else I'll do. I probably do want to fix that Kiwior problem potentially, but I need funds from Sun to do that anyway. So I might end up, you know, to avoid burning a transfer, maybe I make that Sun transfer this week as well, because I can get someone in, you know, like, for example, I could bring in someone like Luis Diaz.
Yeah.
And then he's got sort of a really good home fixture to Palace this week as well. So it's not like I'm losing too much by losing Sun this week. If I was going to make that Sun to Diaz move next week, there's probably no harm in doing it a week early to avoid burning a transfer, because I still get that really good fixture anyway. So it is something I'm considering. But I also think that it's a really good fixture for Sun. So just getting back to like the preview, which we're supposed to be doing, like I think this is like a better type of fixture for him than it is than like even the Nottingham Forest fixture was, for example, just because Newcastle will be going at Spurs, especially at home, and they do tend to leave a bit of space behind them, which Sun loves to run into. So it's more of a Sun style game than some of the games that Spurs have had recently. I wouldn't be surprised if Sun did pretty well.
Yeah, I do agree with that thinking. And yeah, even like looking on the other side of the fence there, Isak. I mean, Spurs give up goals, and the Newcastle fixtures get better once we get into like game week 35 onwards. But you know, managers that have moved for Isak already, you know, over the past couple game weeks, they've already, you know, really reaping rewards of that move.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Spurs at home counts as a good attacking fixture.
Yeah.
For sure. So yeah. I mean, it's probably not a great defensive fixture for Newcastle assets, but for like guys like Isak, Gordon, even Harvey Barnes, like not a bad attacking fixture at all.
Yeah, not bad at all indeed. Then we've got a slate. I don't even know if that's a word, but it's a slate of fixtures at midnight.
It's definitely not a word.
It's not. I just made up a word.
Yeah. I think you've gone slate and sway and maybe swathe.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
You've just oh, I'm hang tired. On. Isn't swathe what you said? I don't know. Anyway, I'm not convinced that what you said is a word, but we'll move on.
Well, whatever. Anyway, Brentford, Sheffield United. So Tony was rested for the previous game, which took a lot of people by surprise. I don't think many managers out there were expecting that, but Thomas Frank did emphasize that they want Tony fit and prime for this last run of fixtures. And you could argue Brentford's fixtures are stellar from here to the end of the season, but without the doubles and Tony's form recently is, you know, it hasn't been the best. There's probably not the appeal there, but on paper, this looks like a really good fixture.
I think it's an excellent fixture. I think that, like, if you owned Tony, he would be in your thoughts for captaincy, right?
I think so.
Especially if you... I think we can be confident that he starts this one based on sort of the quotes that Thomas Frank has made. It seemed like it was just like a minor niggle that kept him benched in the last one, but surely... Like this is there's goals in this fixture, and like it's not a bad captaincy shout to go for Tony on Pens home to Sheffield United. There's a few other players that have got a really good fixture this week as well. But if you're looking to it'd be a good captaincy to go for if you're kind of like 30, 40 points behind your mini league and you want to really go something differential. This is like a really good opportunity.
Yeah, might be a good one there. I saw, the name Ben Brereton Diaz getting a bit of traction I think that's when you realize that we're getting to that stage of the season where things are just getting a little bit too crazy.
Yeah. I mean, going for him in the double is, that's got like Emmanuel Dennis and, yeah, Dennis and King vibes written all over it, right? Like,
it does a little bit.
It's, yeah, yeah. It's bad, bad players, bad team, two fixtures, still no for me. Yeah.
Although they did manage to
get... He's not a bad player, I'll admit that.
No, no, but they did get a very dramatic late equaliser against my Chelsea on the weekend, which was always going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Chelsea probably missed Gusto a fair bit. Like, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I feel like Gusto and Palmer have a pretty good partnership, and I think maybe people that went for Palmer as their captain, they were a bit unlucky to have Gusto out for that game, because I think that, yeah, they've got a really good partnership and Palmer does better when he's playing.
Yeah, no, I very much agree with that. But hopefully he will be back. I think regarding the Gusto thing, that Pochettino said that he was ill during the Man United game, but he just played anyway. So
yeah,
but hopefully,
and he kind of just needed a rest. He'd played a couple of games when he wasn't 100%, basically.
Yeah, that's right. But then we've got Burnley Brighton. Brighton's form really dropped off. Now they don't have any more European football to worry about, so that's a big plus for them. But Burnley, it's that time of the season now where it's you just got to go for it. No more sitting around.
Yeah, I mean, there's almost no FPL relevance to this fixture, but from a relegation race viewpoint, it is a big game, and I wouldn't completely rule Burnley out of being able to get something out of this, even winning it. Like, Brighton have been pretty, they're a bit beachy recently, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They just they seem to have just plateaued recently.
Mm.
Maybe
like it
just...
doesn't look like De Zerbi's going to be there next year. Maybe he's on the beach, and maybe some of the players are as well.
Yeah, and the club is by the sea, so they're all on the beach.
Yeah, that's right.
City Luton, so probably one of the big ones, FPL relevant. I think a lot of attention going to be towards Haaland in this fixture. I think when we first saw it a while ago when we were doing planning, it was like, this is a Haaland captain fixture, but hopefully he plays.
I think he'll play. Yeah. There's enough days between the Champions League and this fixture. And he had a big rest recently. Like, he had that big injury. So, he doesn't move. He doesn't sort of put the miles in like other, like midfielders do, for example. So I feel like, him, like strikers and central defenders can probably play more games than, say, midfielders can. So, I think he'll play. There's a decent gap between the Champions League and this game, and then this game and the next Champions League game.
Yeah, so I think there's going to be a lot of attention on Foden's fitness as we get approach this game too. So hopefully we get some news out of that. But I mean, Pep's not going to tell us either way, is he?
No, Pep won't tell us, so we'll have to rely on. Is it what FPL Tony? Is it who does maybe. The leaks?
Yeah.
Whoever the Man City leak people are, we'll have to rely on them, because, as you say, Pep won't tell us.
No, he won't. But Forest and Wolves, Chris Wood. How much wood could a Chris Wood would?
if a Chris Wood would hit the woodwork,
from 2 yards out. I've completely lost it. He's in fine form, like 4 goals from his last 4 starts.
Except for the fact that he had literally the worst miss of the season the weekend.
Yeah, he missed it from about a yard out. So,
oh man, and he hit it so hard. He hit it so unnecessarily hard,
straight into the post.
It's like he was trying to kick it from the North Island to the South Island. He absolutely belted it.
There'll be a lot of people that don't not get that reference.
Well, New Zealand's made up of 2 islands. Anyway, no, we won't go into that. But I mean, he is, apart from that horrendous miss, like, and it was horrendous, apart from that, he has been in really good form. So, more opportunities. I guess it's another good fixture for Chris Wood. I think I don't see Wolves keeping a clean sheet. That's for sure.
No, and yeah, hopefully Ryan Aitnowry is fit and available for this game, and hopefully to last 60 minutes.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be playing striker again too.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal in that role the last few game weeks. He's really delivered from the attacking perspective. He's doing everything that he's, you know, the scriptures have prophesized.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it does seem like I was a bit worried because, you know, when you see a player grab at their calf and then almost immediately go off, it, you know, I was concerned that was one of my wild card players that had gone down already. Mm. But yeah, the comments have been positive. So it looks like he will be right to play in this game. And if he's not, at the very worst, he'll be ready, you know, for game week 34. So,
yeah.
But yeah, he's been incredible. I wonder if now that it's Cunha's back, isn't he?
Yes.
So I wonder if that's going to impact where Aitnori plays. I guess we'll see.
Maybe, but he's been so good.
He's so good to watch as well. He's just a really entertaining player to watch. So I've loved having him in my team for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's always getting into the really good positions you want those fullbacks to get into. So. And reaping the rewards. But then we've got Bournemouth, Man United. You've got Dom so blanky in your side still.
Yeah. Surely he won't be so blanky this week.
No, but yeah. Which United will turn up to this game? There's the Banter Club United, which will lose this game in some ridiculous circumstance. But then there's the other United, which will just go probably win 3-1. Garnacho double, maybe a Hoyland goal as well.
I don't know, man. I think we might get the bad United this week.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do.
Because they got up for the Liverpool game.
Yeah, you know what? They did, but they didn't. You know, like Liverpool were, I think, as you said, 15 shots to nothing in the first half. They should have scored. It should have been like 3-0 at halftime. And then if that's the case, Man U's heads drop and maybe ends up being like a 5-0, 5-1 at Old Trafford. And I think that Liverpool allowed them to kind of regroup at halftime and galvanize. And they put in a much better performance in the second half, but the game should have been gone.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're that central, they're kind of makeshift central defensive pairing of Maguire and I can't even pronounce the other defender's name, Kambwala, is it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
it's like they,
there was so much space. There was so many opportunities that Liverpool had. They just literally didn't put them in the back of the net. So I think that the final scoreline kind of flattered Man United. It could have been a lot worse. And I'm expecting Bournemouth to be a little bit more clinical. And I'm expecting them to have quite a few chances, just like Liverpool did.
Mm.
I'm expecting Dominic Solanke to hopefully put at least one of them away. So I reckon Bournemouth are going to win this game.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it should be a fun
game. I know
game.
some of our loyal listeners are Man United fans and they're absolutely hating this, but I'm just it's just how I feel, all right?
I think they've also been hating what they've been seeing from Man United for most of the season too, to be fair.
That's true. Hand on heart, they probably they probably semi agree with me. Like they are just giving up that many chances at the moment.
Liverpool, Crystal Palace, an eventful fixture from times in the past, but that was more at Crystal Palace when Liverpool were really pushing for the league there. The follow-up to it doesn't slip here when he slipped.
Yeah.
Losing the 3-0 lead. But that was then, this is now.
Yeah, but I mean it's kind of a I don't know, like it's interesting to see how they're going to respond to what happened last week, because obviously it was a huge disappointment, that Man United game.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see if they, like, what kind of response they come up with. I mean, what do you expect to see in this game?
Yeah, well, I think we'll be able to read a bit more once we, you know, see the European fixture play out. And now I've gone a bit blank, but off the top of my head, I think they're playing Lille. So that's a little bit of a tough fixture there, but Depending on the...
I feel like maybe it's... Are they? I feel like they're not. I could be wrong. I'm going to check. Let's not speculate. Let's have
okay,
a look.
Okay, let's you check while
I thought,
blabber on.
You can riff.
I could riff. Well, I mean, it's a good... A lot of us have Salah in our sides, and we did captain him for that United game. Now, you know, Liverpool at home against Crystal Palace, I think that's a really good fixture too. So, you know, maybe with the doubts on whether Haaland will play, I think we know for a fact Salah's definitely going to play.
Yeah.
Could be worse just leaving the armband on him. It's hard to say.
I think that we can seriously consider that. By the way, they're playing Atalanta. So I think
Atalanta. That's right.
Yeah, I think it's Lille is the conference league. Yes,
against Aston Villa.
Yeah. So I think...
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of lineup they name for the Europa League as well. Like, are they going to go really strong in that? And then if they do, are there going to be some sort of doubts about, you know, whether Darwin starts in this game, for example? I don't know. I think we'll have a better idea once that European game happens, once we see what the starting lineup is for that European game. Probably have a better idea of who's going to start this one. But yeah, like I don't mind Salah as a captaincy shout at all this week.
It could be on the cards. But yeah, that fixture is at 11 p.m. on Sunday night, which is nice. So another advantage to the clocks changing.
yep. That's sometimes as early as it gets for the Sunday night games for us, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, West Ham Fulham. So a London derby there, but as far as FPL relevance goes, I mean, Areola, I think he's still expected to be out. So Fabianski should still be in goals for that game. Munier's a little bit disappointing the last few game weeks. I was really expecting them to bounce back against Newcastle, but did have some chances, just didn't put them in the net, unfortunately. But yeah, this game is a tricky one to call because, again, West Ham coming off the back of the Bayer Leverkusen game, which they will need all hands on deck for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they will sort of put all their focus on the European game, and then they'll probably will be quite tired for this one.
Yeah.
We don't know what the status is with Jared Bowen either with his injury, so there's a few unknowns there. But it was a pretty good performance against Wolves last week for them to, like, they were pretty much dominated in the first half, for them to be able to turn it around and then win that game 2-1. It's quite impressive. So
yeah.
I guess they do have a little bit of momentum, and depending on how Europe goes, maybe they'll be able to keep that up against Fulham at home.
Yeah, maybe. Fulham are just, I don't know, really rocky.
They're
at the
hard
moment.
To read at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, they're one of those. Are they on the beach? Like, question mark.
Yeah, they could have been on the beach a long time ago, and they've had a few good results.
Yeah.
Since. So you kind of think that they're not, but then they have had a couple of weird games, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. It's real, especially as a Mooney zone, that's been a little bit disappointing. But Arsenal, Aston Villa, the, you know, Emery derby, and Villa will not have Douglas Luiz for this game after he picked up the yellow card. So he's got a 2-game suspension.
Yes.
Which is big, especially when there's still no Kamara for Aston Villa. He's out for the rest of the season anyway. So, yeah, tricky. It's going to be a big test for Villa. But both teams are going to be, you know, bouncing back from European football. But, yeah, at least Arsenal have a bit more of a break. And they don't have to travel.
They don't have to travel. That's big. And I really think that Douglas Luiz is huge. Is a huge loss for Villa. Like, how are they going to have any control in the midfield against, like, the likes of Declan Rice and Jorginho? Yeah. And I think they will struggle to retain the ball. And so Arsenal will just be, putting pressure on them for 90 straight minutes. It's going to be – I can see Arsenal winning that one quite comfortably, like similar scoreline to the Brighton game, like maybe 2-0, 3-0, like relatively routine win, I think. So, again, if we think Saka is going to start, I also think that that's not a bad captaincy shout as well.
Yeah, it could be. Saka trying to win that late penalty against Bayern Munich this morning. Very controversial, but yeah, for me, Definitely not a penalty.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it's funny. I feel so sorry for the referees because, you know, like when's the last time there was a penalty that everyone agreed on? Like no one.
Yeah, true.
You're on a hiding to nothing as a ref. Like, you know, you just got to call it as you see it. But they just get absolutely pumped from all angles, regardless of what decision they make.
And then the final fixture, which is on Tuesday morning over here, is Chelsea-Everton. So, yeah, Everton copping that deduction. And, yeah, last time they copped the deduction, they, you know, put the Superman cape on and got to work. But I'm expecting a similar fight back this time. And if any team is going to come to Stamford Bridge and get something, it's probably going to be Everton. They've been a bit of a bogey club for Chelsea the last few seasons.
So what I'm hearing from you is that I should play my Everton double defense again.
maybe not double defense, but I think
Pickford's okay.
I can see Everton winning this game, like 2-1 or something.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean it's nice of them to wait till Tuesday to ruin your game week, right? Like yeah, having true. Chelsea on last.
At least my weekend won't be ruined.
Correct. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice of the scheduling people. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Hopefully Gusto's back, and I think he's very important for Chelsea. And it seems like with Chelsea, you know, they put in one good performance in one bad performance. So maybe they're due a good performance this week.
Oh, yeah, we'll see. I'm not confident.
I can see that.
We'll see. But now it's time for Goodwill Punting, where we look at a differential for the game week now. Well, it wasn't last game week's punts. It was the punts from the previous game week because we missed out on doing a podcast for game week 32. But you did smash it for game week, what was it, 31 that we ended up having epics for. So you went with Chris Wood, who got the 8 points, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and just one goal and two bonus.
Yeah,
not too bad, not too shabby.
And I went Harvey Barnes, who picked up an assist in that game before I think he didn't play 60 minutes from memory, but I don't know.
I think he played 90 minutes in that one. Oh, and 90? Then in the next game, he came off the bench.
Oh, there we go.
But I think that was more just bringing him back slowly after his pretty long injury layoff. So I think that he probably, I don't know, hopefully he's good to start again. But yeah, I think that was a really good pick from you, and he could have had more than just the one assist, that's for sure.
Well, we will see. But anyway, that was then. What about now? Game week 33, who are you selecting?
The person I'm selecting doesn't feel like it should be a differential because he's been in a lot of FPL teams and quite recently, but he's actually back down to only like 1.7% owned. So Sergio Reguilon, 4.4 million, 1.7% owned, home to Sheffield United. Just, he's an attacking monster.
He's also a key member of Troll FC.
He is. That's why you can only ever have him as like a 1 week punt at a time. I think he's a decent punt this week for sure.
Two attacking returns in the previous game week too. Even though they conceded three goals, he absolutely racked up the FPL returns.
And he loves a shot. He loves a shot from the edge of the box.
Yeah.
He'll ping away. So, yeah. I think he's a good pick for at least for this week.
He's making up for that dumb red card from game week 29.
Hey, I didn't have him that week. I was happy that he did it. That was good.
Okay, so yeah, you're going Sergio Reguilon. I'm going with the Bees as well. Brian Mbeumo for me. So 6.7 million, 6.1%. So yeah, basically just targeting the fixture here. So pretty rare to get Mbeumo at such low ownership as well. But yeah, he seems to be back in force and back in favor there at Brentford. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't argue with that. And if there is any lingering issues with Tony and he doesn't play, then I guess he'll be on pens, but probably not. It's probably relying on open play for this week.
Yeah, I think so. Now, O-Captain, my captain, top three captaincy picks. I like your three. So
you're just going to leave it?
Go with it.
It's the same. Yeah, Haaland number one, Salah number two, Saka number three. I do think that similar to last week. I don't think there's very much in it at all. And all three of them are very reasonable choices.
Say we get whispers that KDB is not playing, but Foden is. We've seen Foden absolutely destroy FPL when he's playing as the number 10 without KDB in the side.
Yeah.
That's tempting.
That's very tempting, especially if there's no confirmation one way or another if Haaland's going to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even if Haaland is going to play, like, you obviously get the extra point, you're going to get the clean, the extra point for a goal, clean sheet point, which you'd think is relatively likely against Luton. I know they love to give up the odd goal, but yeah, I don't hate the Foden shout at all. I guess the only risk is, you know, is he only going to play 60 minutes because of that dead, you know, the dead leg or whatever.
True.
But you'd think that if he can start, then he can play 90 because it's not the kind of injury that can get worse, as I said before.
True. But yeah, the earlier in the season when City played Luton in the League Cup, I think Haaland scored four or five goals. So
it was five. It was five goals. Yeah. And I think maybe all but one was assisted by KDB. So
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. KDB is important. His leak is almost as important as Haaland or Foden's. And then, as I said earlier, I think I said it earlier. Even Tony is a decent captaincy shout this week.
Yeah.
If you want to go differential.
But yeah, maybe it's just one of those. Don't overthink it. Just do the simple thing. Chuck it on Haaland, because it would actually. Yeah. If you watch that game without the captaincy on him, I reckon it would just be. I don't think I'd be able to handle that. It'd just be too frightening.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where you just go to bed and find out in the morning what the damage was. Yeah,
I benched you.
I thought I played Haaland. I actually played Carlton Morris over Haaland.
Oh, don't do that, Radisers. But let's have a look at the FPL SideNet podcast mini league. And Andrew, you know how close you are to the top 10 now.
Oh, I'm not sure about that number though. 13th.
13.
Lucky for some.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting there. Probably just need like a couple more green arrows. And maybe if I do well in game week 34 in the big double, maybe that'll be my my entry into the top 10 if I'm lucky.
Could be. Yeah, you're very, very close indeed. I think I am up to 32. So still dream. We carry hope in our hearts here.
Now, I was stuck around the 30th in the league for like 10 straight weeks, remember?
Yeah, so I didn't have 10 straight weeks.
No, you don't have that much. You don't have that luxury of time.
I do not. Time is not on my side. But yeah, Mahesh Sharma still leading on 2,041 points there. Then followed by Drew Potter and then Matthew Bai coming in third. So Drew and Matthew have been like literally swapping second and third, like every single game week. It's pretty tight there. And then, yeah, Serge Ingbesso in fourth and Ashley Hubin, good friend of the show, tied with another good friend of the show, Ian. They're both sitting there equal fifth. So great to see friends of the show doing good. So Ashley on a bit of a comeback. He did lead the mini league earlier on in the season, but then dropped down. But now, yeah, Ashley's on the way back.
He was like right up there. I think.
Yeah, he was
like,
right up there at the summit.
He was top 10K for a while as well. And then he had like maybe five or six bad game weeks in a row. And he dropped right down. And he's since then, he's picked himself back up. He's been slowly climbing back up. So,
yeah.
He's on the climb. He's finishing strong.
That said, poor thing for Ashley. His transfer for the previous game week was Pedro Porro out for Ryan Aitnowry, so
kept the faith for like 32 weeks,
yeah.
31 weeks. Like, this bloke's never going to score a goal. He's gone.
Bang. That is FPL indeed. So, pretty good thing to see there. Manager of the game week was Casey Madden with their side, Ravalava FC. 77 points, Dubravka in goals. So this Casey started Dubravka's. Well done. Udogie, Pedro Porro, 11 points. Yeah, Gabriel, Kevin De Bruyne, 18 points. That was the difference there. Madison, 2 points. Palmer, 5. Bowen, 1. Darwin, 5. Haaland, captain. So, yeah, got some good captaincy points there. And, yeah, Dominic Soblanke rounding out there. So, yeah, 77 points. Stellar game week there for Casey. So, yeah, got some work to do if I'm going to get anywhere near the top 10. But I might just cheat, just put myself in the graphics and see if anyone notices.
No one's going to notice. Who's how will they know it? No one will know.
Check it and get back to me, people. I'll start leaving little Easter eggs.
No, mate, you've been flying the last few weeks. If you keep you know, playing like you've been playing, you'll be up there. You got a couple of chips to go.
Yeah, again, it's the renaissance has been good. I think I've only had one red arrow in the last, what is it, 10 game weeks. So
yeah, you've been smashing it. So
yeah,
I think the top 100K is definitely,
I hope so,
well within reach.
Yeah, I think so. I've been approaching it very differently the last few game weeks, just, you know, a little bit more fun, more so because I'm just concentrating on mini league rather than
the overall rank. Game. It seems to be working for you.
Yeah, my thinking is a little bit different. I'm not so worried about EO and all that other stuff. I'm more looking to get the advantages in that. But yeah, maybe I just have to keep on that one track mind. Try and
play with a bit more freedom.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've enjoyed, even though this season has been a real struggle, I've actually really enjoyed it as well. It's been so different as to all the other seasons. So I'm not going to be putting out a statement that I don't enjoy the game anymore and this is going to be my final season of FPL. I'm going to miss out on getting my my stress ball and my copy of EA Sports.
Yeah. No, you know, no need. It's not an airport. No need to announce your departure.
Yeah. Just, no one cares. So we've got some transfers to make. We both got two up our sleeves. So. Yep. We'll see. I'm sure we'll be chatting to each other furiously about what to do and if the answers do not present themselves to us in the next few days.
Yeah, I mean, I think as I said to you earlier, I think my likely move is Son to Diaz, and then I guess I do have that second free transfer. So I guess I also do have the option, if I make that first one and get some money from that, then I do have the option of fixing Kiwior this week.
Yeah.
And I could just go Kiwior to White or Saliba, and have the double Arsenal defense for this week and for the double. I guess the risk of that is one of those players gets injured, or you know, I guess if I leave it, then I've got a little bit more information. I can wait until game week 34 before I make the decision between which of the Arsenal defenders I want, but I probably do want a second Arsenal defender, and it probably is going to be between White and Saliba.
Yeah.
So Saliba's probably safest. White's probably got a bit more upside. So it's hard. It's hard to decide.
Tricky indeed. But we might finish up there for the night. So just remember, you can give us a follow Twitter and Instagram at FPL Signet, and give Andrew a follow at FPL _pointbreak, especially now that he's in the top 100K. Get on board. This stock is stopped going up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, every week you plug my Twitter. I probably tweet like twice a week at best, but anyway, it's maybe I need to like up the volume a bit.
You know what you need to do those shitty posts of like just a random screenshot of like a play and be like, thoughts?
Yes. Who says no?
Who says no? Or like you put the armband on like someone fucking random this week, be like, just trying this on for size.
Absolutely farming engagement.
Yeah. Dude. Please start doing that. That'd be hilarious.
Maybe I will.
Because then listeners of the show will get it that it's a joke and just be like, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I understand that reference.
Only true fans will understand.
Yeah. Are we sleeping on this player? Are we sleeping on early Haaland?
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. I might start doing that.
Please let the first one be Ben Brereton Diaz with the, you know, thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. Done.
Or use him for all of them. Who says no? Thoughts. Captaincy. Who's just trying it on?
Just size. Schedule a tweet like every 3 hours. All right, done.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. Oh, so yeah, anyway, follow us for that type of nonsense. So yeah, big thanks to everyone out there for all the likes and all the retweets and the stuff. So hopefully we don't start to lose followers now. Just bear with us. We're losing our minds.
We are a little bit. We went off on some tangents tonight, and I apologize for that. But
yeah, you came along for a journey, and hopefully you are still with us. But anyways, good luck to everyone out there. Good luck to you too, Andrew. So we are approaching the business time. So I've got my business socks on. That's when we know when it's business time, baby. So good luck to everyone out there. Let your defensive sheets be clean and your arrows green. See you, managers.